Towards the end of World War II, the American forces surrounded a city in Germany by the name of Aachen. But the German troops had orders to stand and to die defending the city from the Americans. So the American commanders decided to give the city an opportunity to surrender before they attacked. Lieutenant General Courtney Hodges sent an ultimatum to the German commander and the mayor of the city of 165,000 people. And thousands of leaflets were dropped into the city appealing to the troops and to the citizens to surrender and prevent needless bloodshed. This is what the leaflets said. Aachen is encircled. American troops surround the city. The German command cannot relieve you. The time has come for honorable surrender. There is no time to lose. On our airfields, bombers are waiting for final orders to take off. Our artillery surrounding the city is ready to fire. Act quickly. Tomorrow may be too late. There is only one choice: immediate surrender or complete destruction. Well, the Germans did not surrender. The city was attacked. It was destroyed with a loss of thousands of lives. As Jesus ends his Sermon on the Mount, or comes to the end of his Sermon on the Mount, he calls upon his hearers to make a similar choice, a choice between surrender and destruction, between life and between death. To choose between his way, the narrow way that leads to life, and the broad way, the world's way, the way that leads to death. This choice between two ways is the choice that all of us face. It's the choice that all mankind has faced down through history. As Jeremiah the prophet wrote in chapter 21, verse 8, "You shall say to this people, thus says the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death." In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve had the choice, the way of life and the way of death. But they rejected the narrow way with devastating results, not only for them, but all of their descendants, including us. Abraham faced the choice in Ur of the Chaldees. He chose by faith the narrow way, and as a result brought blessing, countering the devastation of Adam and Eve. Abraham's faith and choice of the narrow way brought blessing to all the nations of the earth. Joshua called upon Israel to choose the narrow way. They did at that moment, but eventually they took the broad way, which brought destruction to the people of God. Daniel, as a young teenager, was given a similar choice. The broad way with the finest of foods of the palace, all of the good things and comforts of royalty, or the narrow way, the foods and the life laid out by God's law. And you know that even as a teenager, Daniel chose the narrow way and was blessed as a result. And Jesus says to us, we have that choice. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. The broad way is the wide way. It's the way of the world. It's the way of the crowd. It's the easy way, the natural way. It's a road of diversity and freedom because it has no curbs. It has no boundaries, no fences, either of thought or of conduct. And so it's popular. It's crowded. The broad road is the way of the masses. Everyone's on that road. My children used to say, "Well, Dad, everyone's doing it." Those on this road are assured by the polls that are taken regularly and the surveys of neighbors that they are in good company. It's the right way, the best way. Most people, indeed, have decided that's true and are following it. The broad way seems right. It seems to be the way of freedom, of happiness. For you can do whatever you want. The sky is the limit. It's a road that pursues all of the good things of life. The road that enjoys all the pleasures of life. It's a road that scoffs at God's commandments as old-fashioned and outdated and restrictive. And so it's the road where you're not condemned for whatever sin you might commit. Because it embraces any and all without judgment. No wonder it's the broad way. No wonder it's the crowded way, the popular way. The narrow road's a hard way. It has boundaries that are clearly marked. Travelers on this road are restricted. There are walls and fences that God has revealed through His Word, restricted by His commandments and His admonitions. The way that marks out right and wrong, good and evil. This is the way of life. A life lived according to the law of God, the teachings of Scripture, to truth, to right and wrong, to obedience and submission to the King, to the Redeemer. The narrow way is narrow. And it is unpopular because it imposes a limitation on what you are to believe and how you are to live based on God's revealed truth. And as a result, it's often the way of persecution, and the way of rejection, of trials and opposition, of misunderstanding and ridicule. It's the way of Christ. It's the way hated by those on the broad way. Those on the narrow way are often accused of being narrow-minded, bigoted, unloving, because the narrow way claims to have absolute truth, that it is the way where there is right and wrong and good and evil. And it is the way of good and of truth and of right. It's the only way to God. It's the only way to joy. It is the only way to the celestial city. Just this last week, former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney, who's now running for the Senate in Utah, attacked a Texas Baptist pastor named Robert Jeffress. Now, I do not know Jeffress. I do not know his theology. But I do know those that are attacking him. This is what Mitt Romney said of him. Robert Jeffress says you can't be saved by being a Jew, and Mormonism is a heresy from the pit of hell. He said the same thing about Islam. Such a religious bigot should not be giving the prayer that opens the United States Embassy in Jerusalem. Well, you see, Romney is a Mormon. An organization that is on the Broadway. So of course he will attack someone who is on the narrow way. And what Pastor Jeffress is attacked for saying is what biblical Christianity has said for centuries. Christ is the only way to the Father. And false religions like Mormonism and Islam and Judaism do not lead to God. Jeffress is right, they lead to hell. And those on the Broadway, like Mitt Romney, hate the narrow views of those on the narrow road. We saw this in a Senate confirmation. Hearings for Mike Pompeo as Secretary of State. Now, he has been rather outspoken regarding his Christian faith. He stated publicly, Jesus Christ, our Savior, is truly the only solution for our world. Again, I do not know much about Mike Pompeo and his faith. But in the hearings for his Senate confirmation, a senator, I believe, from New Jersey, Cory Booker, repeatedly demanded to know something that has nothing to do with Secretary of State, but Pompeo's personal convictions. He demanded to know if gay sex is a perversion. And of course, again, historic Christianity has always taught that homosexual activity is a perversion. We saw this hatred for the narrow way in the attacks on Vice President Pence, who is also a Christian and an outspoken Christian and has been. And we've seen him ridiculed and mocked, not for his political activities, but for his expression of Christian faith and his standards of Christian morality. And on it goes. As those on the Broadway charged that the restrictions and the commandments of the narrow way are the problem. The reason the world is in such difficulty and there's so much hatred and war and so on is because of those on the narrow way. It's the narrow way they charge. It's the reason for everything from wars to poverty. If we can just get rid of God's standards, everything will be well. The Broadway seems to be the right way to the vast majority of people. Indeed, how could so few of us be right and so many wrong? It's the Broadway that's crowded, filled with good people. People with good intentions. People who are kind and moral. How could all these multitudes of people be wrong? The writer of Proverbs, chapter 14, verse 12, nails it. Saying, there is a way that seems right to man. But the end of this way is death. Jesus says there are two choices. To follow the true God, the maker of heaven and earth, or to follow the crowd that's serving the God of this world. It is one or the other. In fact, Jesus said earlier, and we looked at it, you cannot serve two masters. You cannot walk down two different roads at the same time. You must choose, and you must go down either the narrow road or the broad road. Now, related to this, Jesus says there's two gates. That is, how do you get on those two roads? There's a small, narrow gate, Jesus says, and there's a broad, wide gate. The wide gate is the world's way of salvation. How do you get to God? How do you get to heaven? Well, the bride gate says any way you want. All roads, of course, we know, lead to heaven. These roads all promise salvation or paradise, eternity, hope, prosperity, all through your own efforts, your own way. You're doing your own thing. False religions in common teach salvation by works. It might be different works, five pillars, or practicing certain rituals, or baptism for the dead, 2 years as missionary service, living by certain moral standards or certain sacrifices. The broad gate invites all to come, assuring them that if they do the best they can, if they're sincere, they will be received into heaven. The narrow gate is much more difficult. It is really narrow. It's confined. Jesus uses a word for straight. It's close. Because it offers salvation only through Jesus Christ. He alone is the door. He alone is the gate. As Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door to the sheep. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." In John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The world promises life and happiness by whatever means you like. Just be sincere. Just follow your star. But God says there's only one gate. There's only one way. There is only one gate through which you can enter to have eternal life. And that is through the person of Jesus Christ. Through his blood shed upon the cross of Calvary as an atonement, as a payment for sin. And there is, God says, no other name given among men by which we can enter and be saved. It is only through Jesus Christ. Truly a very narrow, narrow gate. And the world hates that narrow gate, because that narrow gate brings us face to face with our sinfulness. It forces us to acknowledge the depravity and the darkness of our own heart, our inability to redeem ourselves. The narrow gate owns no other master except Jesus Christ. Owning him as Savior, owning him as priest, a priest who himself atoned for sin by his blood. Owning him as prophet, for he is the truth, and his word is truth. Owning Christ as king, for he alone rules in every area. He is a king who commands obedience to his law, to his commandments. And how do you enter that narrow gate? The psalmist says, "A broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." You enter that gate by repentance, confession of sin. Jesus said, "Unless you repent, you will likewise perish." The first step through that narrow gate is repentance of sin. And the second step is trusting in Christ, called faith. The Westminster Shorter Catechism, question 86, says, "What is faith in Jesus Christ?" The answer is, faith in Jesus Christ is a saving grace whereby we receive and rest upon him, that is Christ, rest upon him alone for salvation as he is offered to us in the gospel. The scriptures call upon us to place our faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is finished work upon the cross of Calvary. In faith, believing, Jesus died upon the cross, taking the punishment that I deserved, dying in my place for my sin, that I might have eternal life and a relationship with God forever. So God says in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The narrow gate is hard because it excludes everything. Everything but Christ. All of your efforts, all of your ideas, all of your good works, all of your morality is cast aside and means nothing. It means casting them away and clinging to Jesus and to Jesus only. Jesus says, few there are that find it. It is a narrow gate. It is hard to enter, and few there be that find it. Then Jesus makes clear there's also a choice of destinations, destruction or life. The broad way, the popular way, the easy way, the crowded way leads to destruction. It leads to hell. There are many voices today that deny that there is eternal judgment, that deny there is a hell. God is a God of love, we're told. How could a God of love send anyone to hell? The broad way generally ends up, if it doesn't begin there, teaching universalism. Because a loving God will eventually somehow get everyone into heaven. But the God of the Bible is more than a loving God. God is love, but he is more than just emotional, sentimental love. He is, the scripture tells us, absolutely holy. He is righteous and he is just. And so the wages of sin against him, the consequences of the broad road, is death. The ungodly will never enjoy the presence of God, will never enjoy the blessing of God. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Contrary to the wishful thinking of those that are on the broad road, the scriptures clearly teach the reality of hell and the judgment of death for sin. In Mark 9:43, Jesus said, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go to hell. Into the fire that shall never be quenched. In Luke 16:22, Jesus said, so it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades or hell, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame. Paul tells the Thessalonian believers about those who have entered by the narrow gate. And he writes, to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. And John writes of the destination of the Broadway in Revelation chapter 20. He says, the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and forever. Unpleasant thoughts, unpleasant teaching, but the wages of sin is death, eternal death. The end of the road that is broad leads to destruction forever and forever. It's a crowded way. It's the popular way. But it's the way of judgment. It's the way of damnation and misery for eternity. The narrow way entered through the narrow gate, Jesus Christ, leads to life. Leads to eternal joy in the presence of God. There is a fuller, more meaningful life today for those that enter the narrow gate. As Jesus put it, he's come to give us life abundantly. God gives us the ability in this life to glorify him and enjoy him. Entering through the narrow gate gives us freedom from the guilt of sin. Gives us liberty to obey God and to walk in his commandments. Freedom from the power of sin. As well as freedom from the consequences of sin. But the narrow way also is the way of eternal life. The way of heaven. As Jesus put it in John 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. John describes something of that life at the end of the narrow way in the book of Revelation. Place of sinless, eternal existence in the presence of a holy, righteous, good God. Face to face with Christ our Savior. The words of the prophet Isaiah plead with Israel and with us. Isaiah 55:6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. Get off the broad road. And the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. We make a lot of important choices in life. Where to go to college. Who to marry. What job to take. What town to live in. And as you think about it, every choice has lifelong and eternal consequences. But far more important than even those choices is the choice of what gate and what road you will take. The world chooses the broad road, the popular, satisfying road. But as Jesus says, it's the road, it's the way that leads to destruction, to death. Christ calls upon you to choose the narrow way, the way of life. Entered through the narrow gate, Jesus Christ, the Savior himself. Which gate will you enter? Which gate have you entered? As Joshua implored Israel, he said, choose you this day whom you will serve, But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If you've chosen the narrow gate, and if you are on the narrow way, if you've been redeemed by the grace of God, take Jesus' words as a warning, as an admonition, as an encouragement. Do not be tempted by the broad way. Do not let the world conform you to its thinking, to its likeness, to its standards. But faithfully walk that narrow road, the unpopular way, the despised way, but the way of Christ that leads to life. Life eternal. Shall we pray?